Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 1, we were taught that no matter how difficult the challenges we might face are, we should never just quit. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, as a pastor, it's been my unfortunate hap to counsel with people that have gone through divorce. And it's always a lot of pain that's involved there. But I've had those that have told me, I got a divorce, and boy, it sure did relief. I feel so much better. And they meant it. It's like a load was lifted off their shoulders. But I've had some of those people also tell me, 5 or 10 years later, I should have stuck with my marriage. But by that time, it was too late. Even though that other mate may have cheated on them and done some terrible thing, they realized 10 years down the road, they should have stuck with it. Now, the apostle here, by the Holy Spirit of God, in love, is telling Timothy to stop running from the problem at Ephesus. My friend, if there is something in your life from which you're running, which you know deep down that God would have you to face it, then simply stop running and trust God. I can remember back in high school, I dropped a class. And the teacher of the class asked me, why are you dropping my class, Andy? And I said, well, sir, it's just too hard. I'm going to fail, and I don't want to flunk this class. I don't want to get an F, so I realize I can't do the work here, and I'm going to get something else. And then he made this statement to me, and I've remembered it. He said, Andy, I don't like what you're doing. I'm afraid you'll develop a pattern of every time something is too hard, you'll quit. Now, I believe I was nearing my mid-20s when I realized that I kept a job about 1 year, and then I would move on, and I would never stick with it. I dropped out of college. I dropped out of everything that I started out to do. And I was developing into a quitter. And the Lord one day reminded me of the teacher. Now, the day in which we live was already prophesied in the Bible. So do not allow this day of iniquity to make you quit. Jesus said, because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but God didn't say to let your love wax cold. Christ didn't command you to let your love wax cold. He just said, because iniquity abounds, there are many Christians who won't stand. We need to realize the promises of God that are for us are still to come. Any blessing that you have in this life that's of material value, you're going to leave it behind at your death. The rewards that God has are eternal. The sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that we'll have in those eternal things, those eternal rewards. So keep it in mind. Have eternal eyes in your heart that looks beyond and says, I see what God has for me. He is charged to not only stop leaving, but also to stop false doctrine. He's told, charge some there to teach no other doctrine. Now, that might be hard on a young pastor when there's older gentlemen and gentlemen who may have been members of the church much longer than that person's been around, and they are teaching something that is not right, and they're afraid to stand up, but never fear to stand for Jesus. Now, for example, I'm not a Calvinist because Calvinism is false doctrine. But let us say that someone in the church is going around talking to others and trying to bring in Calvinism privily. Well, it's the pastor's responsibility, when he finds out, to stop it. The people report it, the pastor stops it, and then the people stand behind the pastor. That is God's way. That is God's direction. This is a constant battle in ministry, by which the pastor must have a hide of leather and a heart of lace. The devil never stands idly by when the church grows in depth and spiritual power. Now, the truth of the matter is, numbers really don't affect the devil. But sound doctrine is one of his strongest enemies that he does all in his power to try to quench. That's why I believe the preacher should open the Bible, the Word of God, and preach expository sermons. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus testified in John 17, thy word is truth. Doctrine is too often downgraded today in favor of an emphasis on love. Nevertheless, sound doctrine must come first, or the love that we think is born of it, that is born actually without sound doctrine, will be a pseudo-love, born of religious flesh, that will abandon you in the fires. You see, true Christian love is a natural product of sound doctrine. If you believe there is a real hell, that's doctrine, then you'll love souls of men to call them to repentance and faith. If it's not in your heart to love souls to try to rescue the perishing and care for the dying, then you have a problem, a spiritual problem. You may be saved, but you just simply aren't right with God. You see, my friend, we don't love as the world loves. Our love is opposite of world love. Our love is as God loves, and we must allow Him to love others through us. Now, I'll hear people from time to time say, well, you just got to love on them. You know, that the phrase, I just don't like the phrase, you got to love on them. Now, love with your whole heart, your whole being. But let it be the love of God through your whole heart and being that reaches out to others. Now, they're to neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies which minister questions, as verse 4 told us. Fables is from the Greek word mythos, from which we get our word myth. The endless genealogies has the idea of doubt. Jews were using their genealogies that caused questions and doubt rather than edification and faith. Sometimes I'll have people that listen to our program write questions, and I'll try to answer those questions according to the Word of God. And every once in a while, there'll be one that'll say, ah, what about this? Ha ha. And they're trying to ask gotcha questions. And usually every time they do that, their question is not in the context of the word that was taught. Matter of fact, some of them think that teaching verse by verse is a terrible thing. But you see, they're people looking for debates. They're the people that will use the endless genealogies. They're the people who will go to listen to somebody because he has a Harvard degree or he has some degree from a university in England or somewhere else. And that's the legitimacy for them and not the fullness of the Spirit and the rightness of the preaching of the Word. Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin. They took note that they were unlearned and ignorant men. How would you like to be a man in front of all the people for you to see, and they make a note of it, public note, that you're unlearned and ignorant? Well, I guess in Peter and John's case, it didn't really matter, because when they were done speaking, they didn't have an answer. They got upset with them. In Ephesus, there were Jews who were trying to bring their Judaism and oral traditions into Christianity. Then there were Gentiles who were trying to bring their paganism into Christianity, just like we see today with contemporary music and psychological-based preaching. An illustration of that is when we see Aaron makes the golden calf, and he tried to dedicate it to Yahweh, that is, to God. It led to beat-driven religious music, followed by dancing in the wilderness and immodesty. And that, as Acts refers to it, that church in the wilderness sinned against God. You say, how do you know it was beat-driven? When Moses and Joshua came off the mountain, Joshua said to Moses, it's the sound of war in the camp. Why would he say the sound of war in the camp? Because the beat, the strong beat, was used in battle, in war. And so he thought there was war going on. Perhaps they were marching to war. And Moses had to correct that thinking. It was a beat-driven music that God abhorred, that blasphemed him, and he found it abomination. See, the pastor is called to stand against it and to cry aloud. And he may sound like an old prude to the worldly Christian, but he's following God's call. And the people of God who truly love Christ purely and holily are to stand behind that pastor strongly. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.